Good morning, everyone. Well, one thing I want to say first here, I love what's happened in this place. You know, there's not a lot of us here, but there's been a good solid foundation of saying, you know, when Gail and I first come here, we used to pray, Lord, bring people around us that are passionate, because we didn't really know anyone in town. You know, and God did that. I enjoy spending time with these guys, everyone here. I enjoy spending time having some fellowship, you know, because it's all about, God, what are you doing in our lives? The excitement, the passion. And I know there's a good solid foundation here now that is going to cause this place to go into the next level. It's just beautiful watching that. There's a culture being put in here, and that's love God, love people. Realizing we've all got our stuff we're learning and growing through. But you know, something that I've been looking at the last week, and it's how often do you hear people say, don't preach at me, you're preaching at me. I hear it all the time. I hear the world around us saying, don't preach at me. But you know, the truth is we're getting preached at every day. And anyway, I just want to, Father, right now, I just pray the stuff that's been preached over us during the week, I break that off each and every one of us. All the junk, all the stuff that's not of you, we break it off. Holy Spirit, I pray your love, your word, your presence just become so tangible in us, Lord, that you start to minister to us and deal with us, Father, today. Because, you know, we get bombarded by people preaching at us every day. People say, oh, don't, you're preaching at me. You hear it all the time, yeah? Don't preach at me. But yet we get people preaching their gossip at us, their judgment. What am I doing? Not loud enough? That. Is that better? All right, so you get people preaching at you all the time. We get people preaching a drug culture at us, they come in here, yeah? And hear what I'm saying, you know, love everybody, minister to everybody. I come out of the drug culture myself. But we hear that. We hear people preaching the gay lifestyle. We hear people preaching, you know, let's get together out of wedlock. We hear all this stuff that goes on. And we've got to love everybody because we've all got our stuff, but this stuff gets preached to us all the time. So we need to allow God to touch our spirit because, you know, we're an advertisement. You know that? Each and every one of us are an advertisement. It's not what we say, it's what we live in. And people are watching us all the time. You want to touch people's lives? Live the life. Walk Christ. Walk the love. Walk the hope. Because people are preaching at us all the time. There's a group that's been coming in the cafe for years. Good friends, good people. But they mock our belief in God all the time, you know. You know, little innuendos and all the rest of it. And I look at some of the group here. One of them believes he's going to get reincarnated. Doesn't know when he's going to be reincarnated. Could come back as a slug, a cow. And yet they mock me with some of the beliefs that go on out there, you know. And I think, seriously. I mean, what did Jesus say? People hate me without a cause. They don't even know why. They don't even realize that they're prisoners. So you think of it, you know, when you've got people coming along, you know, starting to mock and preach and all that, they've got the enemy holding them around like this, and the enemy speaking in their ear, don't preach at me. But yet they're preaching their garbage. But Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. So he wants to set them free. And there's no point us just, you know, trying to go back and do what they're doing. It's not going to work like that. It's living the life around them. And then when the opportunities come, ask questions. Get them thinking. Because if you start an argument, the wall's gone up, you've lost them straight away. But I'll tell you, when people see you walk in Christ, they know who it is. And because they're not wanting that, they get angry. And you know, sometimes, you've got to remember the enemy's there, even in our own lives, doesn't want you to learn and grow in the things of God. He wants you to remain a prisoner. I've got a couple of little things here. Just a couple of little video clips. Some of you may remember, some of you may not, but they go for about a minute each.
Louis the Fly, I'm Louis the Fly, straight from rubbish tip to you, spreading disease with the greatest of ease, straight from rubbish tip to you. I'm bad and mean and mighty unclean, afraid of no one except the man with the can of morphine. Hate that word, morphine.
One spray and Louis the Fly. Apple of his old mother's eye was Louis. Poor dead Louis, Louis the Fly. A victim of Mortine.
Mortine.
Mortine is the safest, surest way to kill filthy, disease-carrying flies. This is why 4 out of 5 Australian homes are protected by Mortine. Spray safe. Spray only Mortine.
Now we're going to see our age here. Who remembers that? Because I do. You know, and I still sing that today. So the point I'm making is advertising and stuff like that is happening all the time. See, we need to be impacted because the world's impacting us. You know, I go around sometimes around here, Louis the Fly. Where's that come from? It's come back from back years ago. You know what I'm saying? So we're an advertisement, each and every one of us. We need to be advertising living, breathing Christ, speaking that, because I'm telling you, the world is after you. The world is always preaching at you, whether you like it or not, every day. Preach, preach, preach. This is what you should believe. That's why we need to get the junk out, get the Word of God in, let it become alive inside. Because if you don't let that Word become alive, you're going to get, the world's going to get you, like it or not. You don't read the Word. And see, sometimes we think, I don't want to read the Word. I'll tell you why, because the enemy doesn't want you reading it. The devil does not want you to get into the Word, so you think, oh, I won't read it today. But I'll tell you, the more you start to meditate on that Word, let it become flesh, let it become alive inside, the more you start to be transformed. You've heard me say many times that scripture, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power with a loving heart and a sound mind. Now, I had to keep preaching sound mind, because young Christian, I was a nut. I'd lost my mind. I'd done that many drugs, used that many things. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. And I had to keep preaching that and preaching that and preaching that till that Word became flesh and became alive inside. Started to bring a life back and a hope. You see, we're bombarded every day. The gay lifestyle, sex outside of marriage, the atheist culture, the evolutionist culture, oh, the Salvation Army culture. Seriously. We've got everybody trying to preach their culture at us. We need to get the Word of God. We need to get Christ inside and live for Him. That's why we need each other. That's why there's a passion. You know, I hear worship and people are passionate now. There's a hunger. You know, people are talking about God in here. We need that. We need the love of Christ to live inside of every part of us. You know, I've heard some... Oh, hang on, I've got another one. I forgot about that. What's this one?
Prove it yourself.
Can you turn up a bit?
Here's a cue tip. How can you prove your cue stick is straight and true? Well, that's easy. Willie Hoppy, world's 3-cushion billiard champion, places his cue on the table and rolls it. A warped cue stick will wobble and bounce. A stick that's true will describe an even arc. And now watch a champion use it. Now, Willie Hoppy, how mild can a cigarette be?
Well, I've been smoking Camels for 20 years. I know they're mild and they really taste great.
Yes, Camels are so mild that in a test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, throat specialists making weekly examinations reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. But prove for yourself how mild a cigarette can be. Test Camels for 30 days in your T-zone. Let your taste and throat tell you about Camels' flavor and mildness.
You see what I'm saying? You know, the world's advertising to you. What lies, you know? Oh, there's no throat irritation, yet we find there's lung cancer and sickness and all sorts of stuff today. And you think about it. Who told somebody in the first place to go and get a heap of stuff and put it in your throat and breathe it in? Oh, isn't that cool? You know, we do that, and then the addiction comes and you get stuck in it. How do I know? Because I was addicted to it. But you think about it. In the natural, who would want to do that? But, you know, commercials are pushing that. Oh, this is cool. People are advertising at us all the time. It's continual advertising. You see, Romans 2:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. So there's a pattern. There's a pattern, and it's always trying to get you to advertise you to you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the Word of God, the Bible says it's living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So when you let that Word get inside, it starts. The surgeon's knife gets inside and starts to transform you. How do I know? You've heard my story. I go on about it all the time. Because I was a drug addict, a heroin addict, an alcoholic and all that. The day I met Christ, I got free. But His Spirit was in my spirit and started to transform my mind, started to heal me. You see, my mind didn't get changed overnight. That took a while, but that took getting that word inside, getting the word of God, the word becoming flesh, living inside. Everybody's preaching at you. Everybody's telling you to live a certain lifestyle. I get it out in the cafe all the time. Dario and Lynn would get it. We'd all get it. You get people preaching their stuff at us all the time. And yet people say, oh, don't preach. Don't preach the word at me. Don't preach the Bible to me. Don't tell me about Jesus. I don't want to hear it. But think about it. It's that enemy that's got them like this that's actually speaking in their ear. Oh, you want to stay a prisoner with me? Don't listen about Jesus. You might get free. Yes, Graham. That's what I said. I don't know what happened. Oh, well, everyone got the gist of that. Thank you. I'm speaking to people here that knows the word really good, so I've always got to be careful and conscious. I've got pastors sitting over here. I've got principals here. I've got people that know the word here. Everyone knows what's going on. So, yes, God is good. Huh? Everyone turn their Bibles to Hezekiah chapter 3, verse 6. So, every man for himself, it says, no. So, Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. So, what does that mean? The glory of God to conceal a matter. So, we know that God conceals things to the world because the world can't hear it, because they don't have the Spirit of God. But you know what? If you can sit in a church, you can do the whole religious thing, go through the traditions and that, but if you're not looking... Bible says it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. What does that mean? There's a saying I always say, readers are leaders, leaders are readers. If you're not looking for stuff, if you're not looking to try and find truth, you're just going to sit there and you can do your religious little stuff on Sunday. How do I know? Because I've done it. You need to start searching out the truth. Start looking, start seeking. Seeking God with a passion, seeking God with all your heart. Because if you're not doing that, you're just going to sit there and you'll never grow. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. We're his kids, we're his kings, his children, his sons. We need to be crying out with our heart, God, I want truth. You know, how do I know I'm changing? Because I look, I think I've said before, even 3 years ago, some of the stuff 2 years ago, the stuff I believed then is not what I believe now. Or it's a deeper revelation, deeper understanding, because God is always working in my heart. So I'm always listening, always growing, always getting a deeper understanding of who he is. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. You see, the world runs around thinking we're all brainwashed and blindfolded. But the truth is, people in the world without Christ have not got a clue what's going on. Blinded the eyes of unbelievers. And you know, there's parts of our own hearts that are still in blindness. But it's the glory of kings to break through and start searching out matters, start looking for truth, start crying out. Bible says, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. So we need to be doing that. We need to be really crying out. We need to be really looking, because the matter will be concealed until you start seeking God with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says that. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So when you start seeking God with all your heart, you'll start to find truth, you'll start to find revelation, understanding, he'll start to give you hope and future and bless you. You know, I look at the world here, some of the people that come in and the blindfolds they've got, and I say to the Lord, I can't believe you're not a Christian. Why wouldn't you want to serve God? Why wouldn't you want to come to know the living God? You see, the Bible says this life's a vapor. We only get one chance at it. You die once and comes judgment. God's a loving God, but we've got one chance, one shot at life. Yeah, we choose. We choose what we want to do. You see, I want to live to the fullness of what God has for me. I want to live in the excitement, the joy, all the plans that he has, the destiny, the purpose of the future. I've had a fun time, I've had a hard time, but I've got a loving God that's always there for me, always blesses me, blessed going in, blessed going out, favor. Why? Because I love him, because he loves me. So if we don't seek God with all of our hearts, we'll never find the transformation that we seek. And you know, I've heard other officers, other ministers, I've heard people say, oh, the grass is always greener on the other side. You know, if I could just get over here, if I could just get over there, it'll be better. Doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? Why? Because it's who you are inside. It's what you're carrying. So what you're carrying is reaching others. If you're carrying the presence of God wherever you are, you can transform everything around you, because your eyes are on him. It's not on every circumstance that's going on around you. It's what's going on with him. Everybody's going to be trying to pull on you left, right and center, but you have to keep your eyes focused, and you'll bring everyone with you, all the ones that want to come. So we need to realize that, you know, because I mean, I've done even the whole I've said this before, the geographical in the old drug days. Oh yeah, I'm going to go up Queensland, I'm going to get up Cairns, get away from my old friends. But I wasn't getting away from me, you see, I was carrying me. And I went up there, I can tell you, within about half an hour, I met every single person that had the same stuff inside that I had, the same drug culture, you know, and I was in the hotel and I'm, where else am I going to go? That's all I knew. And I met everybody, I reckon within half an hour, doing the same stuff. Started trafficking and bringing drugs down Melbourne. I couldn't escape because it was in me. You see, the culture was in me. So we need to get the culture of Christ living inside us. And you know what? Here's the thing, even in church settings or anywhere, if we like gossiping, talking about people, you know what you'll do? You'll find somebody else that actually likes doing that too. If you like, whatever your vice is, all good thing is, you'll get attracted to that. So that's why we need to drop all the other stuff, find people that are passionate and hungry and going the same way, because that'll start to transform you too. But if you still want to hang around the stuff with the world, there's still parts in you, you'll get drawn to that stuff all the time. Doesn't matter who you are, it's what's inside, it's what you're carrying, it's what you're walking with. You see, only humans can be transformed. An animal cannot be transformed. A dog or a cat can't be transformed. It can respond to certain tones in your voice. But it can't understand when you're picking up a book or trying to have some money and buy food, because we're made in the image of God. We can be transformed. You see, it doesn't matter where you are in life right now, it doesn't matter what point you're at, even if you're the worst part of your life, it doesn't matter who you are, I'm telling you, you can turn your life right around and be transformed. It doesn't matter. Each and every one of us. All we need to do is surrender and say, Jesus, help, keep my eyes on him. Don't look left or right, because every other circumstance is going to come at you and try and pull you another way. Doesn't matter who you are, you're going to get pulled the other way by voices around you, and everybody in the world is preaching at you. So this business where I keep hearing, stop preaching at me, and I realize sometimes Gail pulls me up because, I don't mean to be preaching at you. Well, yeah, I do. You know, sometimes I'm apologizing for actually preaching. I realize that nonsense because the world is always preaching at me, continually. I'm getting it every day, bombarded with all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I love the world. I love people. I love them unconditionally. But I realize I've got to be careful with that, because people are always preaching at me. And it's the enemy holding them in their prison, speaking behind them. You know, Plato and Aristotle both knew about transforming societies. They said that. They said through their music they could preach into people's subconscious what they want to do. You don't think the world knows that? You start speaking something continually, and you're listening to it, and your brain is getting that stuff, it becomes a truth. That happens all the time. A while back, Gail used to always say, what are you reading the newspaper for? Because I used to read it. Probably haven't looked at it for a long time now. But I don't want the garbage. I do not want to know every day what is going on in the world. Oh, this is happening, that's happening. And then start walking with that, because you know what? It'll start coming out in me. I'll start speaking out over everybody else. You know, if something's happened, I want to see, but I don't want to get caught up with it. For me, it was my daily medicine. Oh, the news, forget it. You see, advertising companies, all the time, they know exactly how to do this. They know how to advertise you as a science. They have people around them that study what's the best way to get your attention, you know, all of that. The world knows how to do that too. McDonald's knows how to do that. McDonald's preaches at us all the time. Can't you tell? No, I'm stopping that. So the techniques used on our society is this. Keep on repeating something until it becomes the truth in the hearer's ears. Hitler did that. Hitler kept saying the same thing. Repeat the truth. Repeat a line, it becomes the truth. See, when it comes to things like gay marriage or global warming or any of the things, oh, that's one that people believe in. I don't. Or any of the things that we had a thorough brainwashing with because of continual bombardment and preaching via media. Because we hear it so much continually by mass media that was a lie becomes truth. We hear it all the time. We hear people preaching at us non-stop. You keep preaching stuff at you, keep listening to the idiot box, and it becomes truth. And you don't even realize it. And then when someone touches that truth, you get upset. So this is why we don't base our lives on man's opinions, but on God's word. Being rightly transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is why we cannot allow ourselves to conform to the pattern of this world. We need to have our minds transformed and renewed, continually meditating on and soaking on the word of God. Soaking in it, meditating on it, letting it become part of you. You need to do that. If you don't, the world's going to get you. The world will actually take you down. Yeah, you'll still be saved, but you'll be walking around with all this other junk in your head. So each and every one of us has a culture preached at us since birth. Some good and helpful, some bad and destructive. How to act and what to believe. Does our culture allow us to give us a capacity to hear outside the box? Preached at us by people? Does that culture that we've learned allow us to actually hear what other people are saying? Because sometimes, you know, we can't hear because we've already got this stuff wired into us. When somebody comes along with truth, up goes the wall. I can't hear that. Or can we only hear what our culture allows us to hear? Because we've been trained by it, and our cultures and thoughts have been deeply ingrained in our subconscious. Cultural upbringing can be good or bad. You know, there's another thing about culture I want to speak about. There was a young man who came to Australia who was poverty stricken. He finds work and saves every penny. He lives a very frugal life, and his family become quite wealthy. He has two children. His whole focus is to get his children well educated. His son becomes a doctor. His daughter becomes a lawyer. Both highly skilled, very handsomely paid. But the culture in the university where they attended and lived on campus lived a life of opulence. They learned the patterns of what the high flyers, lives of extravagance and being flamboyant. They had been seduced. These two professionals into a life of what seems from the outside a life of success. This culture of a lifestyle of opulence continually preached at them every day. After college, they lived what they had been preached at them from the so-called elite. They both had huge mortgages on their houses in the best neighborhood. They had brand new cars. They both had holiday houses, numerous credit cards that were maxed out. The doctor earned $100,000 plus a year. The lawyer earned $200,000 plus a year. They seem wealthy, but they live from pay packet to pay packet, well beyond their means. What happened to these two siblings? Their parents were wealthy and frugal. The parents, instead of teaching these children the same principles about money that they learned, instead they paid for their college. They paid for everything so they didn't have to feel what hardship was like. They didn't learn any good, valuable and wise principles about life and money. So the patterns of this world, the culture around them, preached a lifestyle of opulence to them that guaranteed these two now grown up children a life of debt and poverty. In this same pattern happens in everything we do. Did you know that? The same pattern happens. You can do that in a church setting. Yeah, you get saved, you're passionate, on fire, and then you get in the church setting, and eventually the church setting just brings us back into a little religious comfortability. Then the kids start to grow up in that year, and the kids think, I don't want anything to do with this. This is boring. What am I doing? Because we've done religion. We've actually got to a cold place, and then the kids walk off into the world. We can all do that. When we get passionate about something, we need to remain red hot for it. You know, we need to understand. So even with those parents, you know, they should have been teaching them the principles, not trying to give them a protective lifestyle so they wouldn't find out what it's going to be like to do hardship. You see, we all need to go through hardship to understand the goodness of God. We all need to go through hardship to find out what life is about. If everything's just easy, then you don't learn anything. So the world is preaching even at our kids all the time. You know that? The world is preaching at children all the time. That's why you need to remain passionate. You need to train up children. You need to train everyone up. But you know what I'm saying in this place, I love what I see here. I love the passion, the hunger. I love the joy. I love the excitement. I get excited coming here. I love it. Because it's what's in me. It's what's in you guys. So wherever you are, whatever you're carrying, people are going to follow. And you know what else I've noticed too? I've seen this, and I guess Dario would have seen this in Lynn, because they've been around for a long time too. As a pastor, a minister and all that, sometimes people can copy people, and it can be a good thing, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. But I've seen it over the years. I've watched leaders, you know, being raised up, and I've watched people under them try and emulate that person. Nothing wrong with that, well and good. But you need to be careful that they're not following the person instead of following Christ, you know. Because we can all do it. I mean, I watch people preach and I think, yeah, I'd love to be like that person. But I don't want to try and take who they are. Because we've all got a plan, all got a purpose. There's giftings, there's presence of God, there's fire, there's love all through each and every one of us here. So what culture are we living under? What culture are we preaching to those around us? What are we preaching to around? And I'm not talking about your words, I'm talking about your life. Not so much by our words, but by our actions, by the way we live. I remember reading about an interview with five wealthy people. The first one that spoke looked the part. He had his Rolex watch on, a big chain around his neck, the finest expensive suit. He lived in the best neighborhood, drove the latest top model car. Everything about him looked like wealth. But when the questions came for the interview, it was discovered that he had nothing but a huge pile of debt for his lifestyle. When he heard the net worth of the wealthy people sitting around him in the same room, these people who look like your average person, who were very humble about their position in life, they didn't drive the most expensive cars. Matter of fact, all of them drove second-hand economical cars. When this man realized who he was sitting with, he went very quiet. You see, this man was preaching a culture by his lifestyle that would lead him and others around him, if they accepted and followed this culture, eventually into a train wreck of life. You see, we can look the part, we can do all that. We can even get caught up with the stuff of the world, but we need to actually learn good godly principles about everything. It's funny how we hear the words, you Christians are brainwashed. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Brainwashed. But so is everybody. But they're blind and don't realize that they can't see. We're not brainwashed. We're brainwashed, sure. But our eyes have been opened. My brain needed the good washing from all that junk and that crap and all that stuff from the world. Can I say crap? Well, I've said it. But you know, all that stuff from the world, my mind was brainwashed. I was messed up. You know, my mind was nutting off for years until I come to faith. And it still was for years after. It took a long time to get that word to become alive inside. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. So again, whatever could that mean? You could, for example, be living in a nice, comfortable religious culture, never looking for the deepness, intimacy of the love and closeness to God, just going through religious motions, being an incense of death instead of life all around you. You know, that's, I'm sorry to say, but that's why a lot of places you see, and even us as people sometimes, we can just be dead. Go through the motions. People don't want that. They want to see the fire, the love, the passion, the joy that's in each and every one of us. People are looking for that. They're looking for the real thing, the tangible presence of God. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, so God conceals matters, and the wisdom of the world's culture will never find out secret hidden matters of God's heart. They never will. The wisdom of the world will never find that, and they'll laugh, and yet God's right here. It's so obvious. Without a surrendered heart to Jesus, the heart is greedy, selfish, and corrupt. Did you know that? Without a surrendered heart to Jesus, greedy, selfish, and corrupt. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us being saved, it is the power of God. You know, we can see through history that 98% of the world's discoveries and inventions have come from God-fearing people. You know, discoveries and inventions come from God-fearing people. Because God is a creator and we are made in the image of God, and so his people are creators of new things. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Search stuff out. Find out what you're called to be. Even if you've got to read books, you know, from whatever it is you've got a passion for, read them. Let it become a part of you. That doesn't just mean just in Christian stuff. I'm talking about if there's something that God has called you to do, because we've all got callings on our lives, go for it. Start to learn, start to study, start to do research, and you'll find you'll start to become very well understood in what you're going to do. And you can actually move in stuff that you never knew you could do. You see, if you don't search out matters, if you just stay in a religious rut, you'll never find answers or any new revelation. They'll be remain concealed by God. I've sat there for years and just done nothing, and And once I start stepping out and learning and growing, I start to become real. Satan, the god of this world, will keep your heart blinded because you believe deep in your subconscious what that culture around you has been preaching at you for years. You see, the world's preaching at us all the time, telling you you can't do it, you're no good, you're this, you're that. You can't afford to listen to that stuff. The bottom line is we are all preaching a culture, not by our words, but by our actions. If you want others to find what you have, which is Christ, then preach the culture, not by words, but by living it. Live it. We can know all about the Bible, yet be very angry. If we do this, what are we preaching? Do people say, I need that anger, I want to follow Christ too? Or no thanks, you can keep your angry God to yourself? Now, I know we're all growing. We all still struggle and battle with all sorts of issues. But just remember, everyone is watching us. Our life is preaching loudly every day. Everyone. God is watching us. So the truth is, everything is preaching to us, good and bad. There is a saying I read about in a book called The Stickiness Factor. It's an advertising cliche about making advertisements stick in the minds of others, because each and every one of us is an advertisement. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is the result of someone else's preaching too. That's why we need to get the junk of the world out of us. We can't afford to be listening to that stuff. I mean, like I said, every day, and I guess we all get it, we all get the world. You've just got to deprogram, just say, Lord, I don't want that stuff, take it off me, and get in the Word of God. You see, He's the Word made flesh. When we seek Him with all our heart, when we're going through stuff, when we want change, seek Him with all your heart. I'll guarantee you change. You know, people look and say, oh, it can't happen to me, it happened to you, it happened to everyone else, it can't happen. Yeah, it can. He's no respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through, where you are right now, it's up to you. You bow your knee before Him. You see, I've heard people put conditions on God. God, if you do this, then I might serve you. I was talking to someone the other day who was saying that, you know, who's been saying that for a long time. I thought, well, you're just going to go through the same stuff. It's going to get worse and worse. Surrender. And then when people do surrender, you know what happens? It's like, why didn't I do this in the first place? Wow. Finally. But you know, people don't want to. So the world's been preaching at people every day. Their word, despair, destruction and hopelessness has been hidden in our subconscious. This is why we need to get that Word of God inside us. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active. So we can see that the New Testament Word is alive and active. You see, Jesus is not a theology, He's a person. He's the Word. He's living and active inside. He's not a theology, He's a person. Living inside us. But we need to get that Word in. So what are we filling up on? Who is preaching to us? Garbage in, garbage out. The Word of God in and out becomes a wellspring of life. What is our lives preaching to others? I hope that our daily lives preach at the kingdom of God so others can find Him and not us. The kingdom of God is what we need. So, Father, I thank You. I pray that Word, Father, Your love, Your presence gets in us, Lord. Every bit of garbage that the world's put on us, Lord, everything that we've listened to, I break its power. I break its power off our lives. I break its power. I'm asking, Father, for an increase of Your love and Your presence, an increase of Your joy, an increase of Your vision, Father. I pray, Lord, that we understand that when the enemy comes and says, have a look at this, have a look at that, Lord, we learn to discard it. Father, I pray that Word, we cast all our cares upon You because You care for us. I thank You, Lord. I pray Your love and Your blessing and Your breakthrough over each and every one of us. Jesus, we love You.